Thank you and good afternoon. I am Anna Skolden, representing our research team, which also includes Anita Pomerantz, my colleague in the Department of Communication. And I'm here today to present some findings from a multi-year community-based project aimed at identifying effective strategies for increasing reproductive health care seeking among low-income African-American women. I have no relationships to disclose. This project is part of a research center at the University at Albany called the Center for Elimination of Minority Health Disparities, which is supported by a grant from the National Institute on Minority Health and Health Disparities. The warrant for this study is the significant disparities in reproductive health-related disease incidence and outcomes for African American women. Disparities are pronounced in the areas of breast cancer outcomes, HIV and STD incidence, and cervical cancer incidence and outcomes. The project's objective is to identify effective community-based strategies for encouraging low-income African-American women in a small-town setting to seek reproductive health care services. The site for this study is a small city in a rural county of upstate New York. The choice of the study site is in keeping with the mission of the research center this project falls under, which is to address health disparities in smaller towns and cities. In addition, according to data from the Guttmacher Institute and data from the local Department of Health, there is a substantial unmet need for reproductive and sexual health services in this community. Census data indicate that the town's population is 24% African American, many of whom have less than high school education and have low incomes. Smaller towns present unique contextual challenges for reproductive health promotion, which were identified in a preliminary research project in the community that we conducted. There tend to be fewer providers, transportation options tend to be more limited and more expensive than in urban areas, and the sensitivity of reproductive health concerns makes privacy more of an issue in smaller towns than in larger cities. Based on the findings of our preliminary research, we began with two main types of interventions: community health education events on themes related to women's reproductive health, and a transportation voucher program that provides taxi vouchers to women from anywhere in the town to reproductive health care providers and back again. We've collected a variety of qualitative and quantitative data to document the study's processes and outcomes, including participant observation in our interactions with community-based organizations and community residents, pre- and post-education event questionnaires, qualitative interviews with health event participants to gather their reactions to the events, and data on services obtained by residents. The findings that I'm presenting today are informed by a conceptual framework presented by Stevens, Rimal, and Flora, which in turn draws on the trans-theoretical model of health-related behavior change. This framework emphasizes that while behavior change, which in the case of this project takes the form of seeking reproductive health services, is the ultimate goal, intermediate health outcomes are also important indicators of the intervention's success, since they may be precursors to achieving the goals. Stevens et al. Focus on public health campaigns, and we concur with them that gains in knowledge about health constitute an important intermediate outcome to a campaign. This project focuses on a community-based intervention, and we report here additional intermediate outcomes besides knowledge, including not only knowledge about health, but knowledge about community-based organizations, awareness of health issues and intention to seek services, intention to communicate new knowledge to social network members, and relationship building with research team members. We view these intermediate outcomes communicatively as a product of interaction among participants, CBOs, and research team members, rather than simply as transmission of information at community health education events. Our results then include 5 intermediate outcomes and 2 behavioral outcomes. The first intermediate outcome is gains in reproductive health knowledge. Pre- and post-questionnaire analysis suggests that the format used to present information and community members' involvement with pre-event activities, such as helping to plan and promote the event, affect their knowledge gains. That is, the more interactive the presentation format and the greater engagement that participants have prior to the event, the greater the knowledge gains from the event itself. However, our ends are small, so that these results are suggestive of trends rather than definitive. And I'll say a little bit more a little bit later on about quantitative data in the context of small ends. Post-event qualitative interviews reveal what stood out most to the participants among the different points of information offered, and often what they intend to do with the knowledge, whether it's for themselves or for others. For example, one participant said about breast cancer risks that it surprised me, the part about the older you are. I always figured that it would have to be young kids that would get all this stuff. And just in the interest of time, I won't read the entire quotes, but this was something that came up again and again, women thinking that actually the further away you were from your childbearing years, the lower your risk for breast cancer was, rather than the other way around. The second intermediate outcome was gains in knowledge about community-based organizations. Through interaction with local CBOs in the community's home territory, that is to say, on their own ground, participants learn about their services, often for the first time, and gain comfort with organization representatives that they need to interact with, again, on their own ground rather than in institutional settings. So in this interview, when the interviewer asked, "So which were new organizations for you?" the respondent answers, "All of them was like new to me here." The third intermediate outcome is increased health awareness and heightened intention to seek healthcare services. And for this outcome, the quantitative data were particularly difficult to interpret, so we're relying here primarily on qualitative data. The quantitative measures that were taken were not found to be particularly useful as a way of documenting impact because they tended to be high already on the pre-event questionnaires, and it was unclear whether that was because it seemed to be the socially desirable response or whether because the very act of deciding to attend an event might have already increased intentionality to seek healthcare services. So also, we had originally approached the data with the idea that expressions of awareness and heightened intention to seek services could be separated. But our analysis found that in practice that these are so closely coupled that it was impossible to separate them analytically. In interview accounts, participants reported that the events increased health awareness, meaning bringing health to the foreground rather than in the background, behind, for example, family concerns or economic concerns, as a prelude to action, sometimes expressed in terms of awakening. There were many expressions of the importance of seeking healthcare services sooner rather than later, of the need to take action. The word need came up a lot, and affirmations of their attempt to seek services. So when asked whether she thought an event like this was helpful in convincing people to take better care of themselves, this participant responded, "It's always good for a wake-up call," and that it, as we skip a little further down, "it gives you an incentive, like, I need to go and get that. That's important. So I believe it did, and it should have to somebody. I know it did to me." I don't know. Or this participant who offered, "I definitely have to go do that," meaning get an annual GYN exam. "I am going to do that tomorrow." Yeah? You can't put it off and say, "Well, I am going to do it," because tomorrow isn't promised. You know, we have to do what we can now to save ourselves. Intermediate outcome four is spreading the word through participants' social networks. And this was as reported in post-event qualitative interviews and ethnographic observations. And this showed up as expressions of the intention to communicate information received at an event to others, and also as reports of having already done this by the time the follow-up interview was conducted, which would typically be a few days after the event had actually taken place. Participants also reported bringing social network members to the event and being brought to the event by network members or receiving an invitation to attend the event from a member of the social network. So this participant explains, I took the information to my daughter, you know, because she's with the baby's father, you know. They broke up and stuff, and she was, and I told her about, just make sure you use a condom, because you don't know where, who he'd been with. Just, see, this is how things, AIDS happens, is that they get comfortable with a partner. If you don't take the test and know what your status is, then be careful. Intermediate outcome 5 was the building of relationships between community members and research team members, and this was as gathered through ethnographic observations. The process of qualitative interviewing was observed to foster relationships between community members and research team members, such that research team members become trusted resources for information about local health and human service organizations in order to help community members solve their health-related problems. The first behavioral outcome and our primary objective is signing up to receive reproductive health services at the local publicly funded provider. This is the hardest thing to achieve, and we typically get small numbers at individual events. So, for example, 2 out of 20 participants might actually sign up to receive services. However, we have seen increases in these numbers recently, as we have begun to enlist the participation of local peer outreach assistants. Making appointments also sometimes turn out to be intermediate outcomes in relation to actually keeping appointments. Participants may be persuaded that seeking services is a good idea in the context of the event, but when the appointment rolls around and they're alone, actually getting to the appointment may seem like a daunting prospect. And finally, we also experience challenges in managing the tensions between intersecting with women in a public setting and the privacy concerns that are associated with reproductive health care seeking in a small town setting. And this is something that we really struggle with on an ongoing basis. However, this respondent's account of signing up for services shows how important the interactional context of the health education event can be. Just that last section there, I think, is important to focus on. They was talking to me. They was real good to me. And, you know, she was like, we're going to help you find a better doctor to help you. I'm like, I'm glad, you know, because I need help. You know, I have health problems, and I don't want it to get any worse than it is. And she said, you can talk to me anytime. And I kept on talking to her in there because, you know, she was listening. Behavioral outcome 2 was receiving health-related services at events. And this included on-site distribution of safer sex kits and emergency contraception, receiving HIV and STI screening services while events were ongoing, and also non-reproductive health screenings and services like blood pressure checks, glucose screening, and flu shots, which we do as part of some of the events as sort of reproductive health as part of an overall healthy lifestyle. I'll just say really quickly that these screenings are definitely a draw to the events. I think that when people feel that they can accomplish a concrete action as well as learning something, then that becomes a reason for them to come to the events. There have been some what we feel are unfortunate changes in organizational practices over the time that we have been doing these events, and we are no longer able to do the non-reproductive healthcare screenings and services at the events because of changes in policies and the community organizations that we were partnering in. So some of our conclusions are, and I'm actually going to start in the middle and then come back to the top. First of all, that qualitative and interpretive methods are best suited for documenting intermediate outcomes that are social, and also for documenting interactional dimensions of cognitive processes. You won't actually be able to find some of these outcomes without using some of these methods. And also, however, quantitative measures of knowledge gain are very helpful in tailoring messages and delivery methods, although the small sample sizes do complicate interpreting the data. And finally, the point at the top, achieving behavioral outcomes. I mean, you saw these outcomes were numbered, but I want to emphasize that that because they are numbered, it's just sort of a convenience device for keeping track of them so that you know how many of them there were that we identified. However, it is not meant to indicate that that is necessarily the order in which they happen or that this is a linear process. Achieving behavioral outcomes requires patience and sustained interventions, and there are multiple opportunities for interruption and non-completion as we go down the road from heightened awareness to making appointments for seeking services to actually keeping an appointment. And we feel that this is important in defining measures of success. We argue that it is not a failure when people come to events and don't sign up for services, or even sign up for services and don't keep their appointments, but rather we see it as part of a process that is predictably unpredictable. Thank you.